Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss, join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on? How are we doing?
But we're doing well, except, Joe, I had the same fate as you did Saturday last night.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
Waited all night for AAA and ended up getting an Uber home.
The exact same thing.
Yeah, except that's not weird. In VR, in a Shoney's parking lot.
Hey, well, at least you could have walked in and get the buffet, I guess.
Did you get some Shoney's?
It's 2 a.m.
Oh, well. can't help you there. Jeez, you two have had some bad luck these past few days.
Right?
I blame Joe.
Well, I think that's probably the safe way to go.
Sorry.
Everything is blamed on Rex Road here on the program. Mike, what did you think of the national title game last night? Kansas gets it done. Bill Self wins his second national title, fourth in program history for Kansas. What did you think of the game and that matchup between North Carolina and Kansas?
I thought what Kansas did in the second half defensively was incredible to watch. Just because you knew the transition offense team they were, but when they really dialed it up defensively, they made it impossible for North Carolina to do anything, to run anything, and it became Caleb Love iso ball, and Carolina does some of that anyway. But, yeah, I thought watching Kansas's defense in the second half was really, really, really special.
So the Cheaters win. And some Vanderbilt fans, let me segue to baseball talk, Mike Wilson, would say the Cheaters won here this weekend. What say you?
I say that first inning on Friday was very eventful, and the series got very normal after that.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where the bat part of it has obviously dominated a lot of conversation. But what do you make of Tennessee walking in here to Nashville and doing something that's very difficult to do, and not only beating Vanderbilt in a series, but sweeping Vanderbilt in a series? What kind of a message did that send to you? Did you think that send to the rest of the country for about Tennessee, Tony Vitello, and this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the core takeaway is Tennessee just has a better team right now. And that's been the case for them with everyone they've played this year, pretty much. I think they lost to Texas, which was number one at that time. Didn't play particularly well in that game, but you've seen since then they've really rallied it together in terms of they've got the pitching to beat anyone. They can hit well enough to beat anyone. Didn't hit a lot of homers this weekend, make of that what you will, but timely hits, got it done. But I also think Vanderbilt was in those games more than you would have expected because of their pitching as well. I thought Vanderbilt pitched pretty well. I thought Friday night and Saturday night's guys probably both deserved better than what they got from the offense. But, yeah, Tennessee right now is playing a really, really crazy level of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. In all seriousness on the whole bat thing, it's a separate issue, which is very frustrating to me, the process. I think it's really stupid. But, you know, the story to me, Mike, was the starting pitching of Tennessee. I mean, look, Chase Burns, huge recruit, and he's living up to the hype. You've got the transfer, who, of course, pitched well against the Vols last year. And, I mean, Dollander has been terrific. But then Drew Beam, I mean, that's a heck of a story. You're talking about a UCL tear, guy who hasn't really hadn't pitched in a couple years, kind of a project. Murfreesboro kid, didn't really get recruited by Vanderbilt, he told us the other day. And I thought he was, in terms of just the art of pitching, and just the keeping hitters off balance and just never letting them get good swings or square up the ball. I thought he was just tremendous. I mean, look, there's still a long way to go. A lot of SEC series left, and there's probably going to be some ups and downs. But you look at this rotation and think that it can be a national championship rotation?
It has that ability. The question mark to me just becomes – exactly what we're talking about. It's a freshman, a transfer who threw about 43 innings last year at Georgia Southern, and another freshman. And this is a long season. It's a very long season. So you wonder about the stamina, the endurance throughout the season, how long that goes. I mean, those guys are putting on some innings, putting on some pitches. But when you're talking about Drew Beam, he, to me, is what's changed the ceiling of this team. It's a very good baseball team, regardless of who's starting on Sunday. But we're not even talking about Blake Tidwell consistently right now, because Drew Beam has been so good on Sundays that you're not sitting here saying, wow, Tony Vitello really needs to get Blake Tidwell back in that rotation. They miss him so badly right now. Drew Beam has been so good that Blake Tidwell starting on a Tuesday this week to get him some innings. Oh, he's the projected starter tonight, that is. But yeah, Beam to me has become that guy who's really elevated what this team could be, because now they have four legitimate starters right now once Blake Tidwell stretched out. And that's the kind of thing in the postseason that really matters. Because last year, Tennessee went to Omaha with two starters, realistically.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Mike, to that point, once you start to settle in here and Tidwell gets some innings under him, what do you think his role is as they move forward here, continuing in conference play?
It's a great question. I think the early answer from Tony Vitello was, you know, he threw one inning, stretched him out to two innings, slowly built him up. But I don't know what you do with the weekend rotation in terms of can you take someone out at this point? Or is Tidwell at this point the long reliever? So if one of them does have a bad start and only lasts three innings, does he come in and throw 4 to 5 innings? If someone has back-to-back bad starts, do you put Blake Tidwell in the weekend rotation? And it's crazy to even have this conversation when you think about it, because that's a first-round pitcher you're talking about. But Tennessee's guys really have been that good. You look at what they just did to Vanderbilt. It was 4 runs in 3 games. And I think Drew Beam's given up 1 run in SEC play. He was perfect for 6-some innings against South Carolina. So there's not really a guy that you're like, yeah, that's the spot that Blake Tidwell can take over.
So on the whole bat thing, Mike, first of all, if you were in charge of this process, how would you streamline it or fix it? Do you agree with me that, like, not having outcomes is stupid? Because if Jordan Beck just lost the sticker on his bat, all they'd have to do is verify that this was a tested, clean bat, and then at least some of the chance of cheater would have, like, died down last weekend, right? What would you do?
I mean, the whole process is, to some extent, shrouded in a little bit of mystery. I mean, until I read the rule book on Friday night, I didn't know a lot about it. I knew the bats got tested. I didn't know it was 3 parts. But it did seem like there's an easy answer, which is, yeah, test it, and either you can give it back to Tennessee or you keep it because it wasn't meeting the standards. But that doesn't happen. If a bat is deemed not okay, or in this case just didn't have a sticker, so we don't know if it wasn't okay or not, the umps just keep it for the weekend, and Tennessee went and got it back after the Sunday game, and off they went with a bat that apparently was legal Wednesday and apparently wasn't on Friday. Whether it had a sticker or not, we don't really know.
Mike, switching gears to the basketball part of this, when do you expect Kennedy Chandler to maybe make a decision? Because I keep looking at mock drafts, and it seems like he's got some momentum there. I saw him going 18 overall to San Antonio. Some people have going 20. But we've not heard much yet from Kennedy Chandler. When do you think that decision could be coming?
Yeah, I would imagine that's not far off, especially, you know, now that the season itself is concluded for everyone. I'd imagine that's coming pretty soon, just given what you're saying. I mean, he really played himself into that mid to late first round conversation with how well he played the last 6 weeks. So I'd imagine he puts his name in there sometime in the near future.
So if they lose him, which I would agree. I mean, I would think, you know, I think he played so well the last few weeks. And, you know, I think that's going to take away some of the questions that maybe some personnel people had. I mean, he's going to be a point guard in the NBA. And then everything else comes back. Let's say this, you know, the bigs get better. You've got Vescovy and James as seniors. You know, you've got some young guys who are developing. That team with Zakai Ziegler at the point and everything else all the same is how good?
Well, I think Tennessee will add a point guard still.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that team, you know, the early top 25 things are probably coming out this morning. Well, correction, probably came out the second that the game ended last night. It's a team with a good ceiling, and I think you're going to see them in the teens entering the season in terms of a ranking. But I think if you see Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan-James make another jump like they did from their sophomore to junior seasons, that team's got a lot of potential to do a lot of damage again. SEC is going to be pretty good. Arkansas is definitely getting a lot of buzz. Kentucky, obviously. Alabama's got guys coming in again. But, yeah, I think Tennessee, with that level of experience they'll have, especially if the bigs get better, becomes a very intriguing team next year in terms of what they can do throughout the whole season.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mike, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely.
Look at that tire, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. Mike Wilson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 16th. Don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there as well. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live today from First Horizon Park, opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They take on the Durham Bulls tonight at 6:35. Gates open at 5:30, and they've got a lot of great things going on this week. First off, six straight home games to open up the season for the Sounds, including you can watch myself throw out the first pitch on Sunday. So
That alone
is worth the price of admission. But six games in a row this week for the Sounds. We'll have some tickets to give away for that Sunday game coming up here in just a few minutes. But if you're coming out tonight, gates open at 5:30. They got a pregame block party coming up as well outside the stadium tonight, and they'll have live music, activities for kids, food trucks, and beverages out there as well. So going to be a celebration of opening day here for Nashville Sounds baseball out at First Horizon Park. And the rain's starting to come down right now, but they do have the field tarp on. So pretty impressive field tarp they got here.
Hopefully very, very nice tarp.
Doesn't ruin things.
Could do some Durham Bulls like sliding into home on that face. You know, yes. Pete Rose slides out there. But, yeah, it looks like it's going to work out forecast-wise a couple hours before game time. So, should be good.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, sadly, in the SEC just means more league. You have to question every illegal action to determine if there was intent or if it was unintentional, discussing the Tennessee bat situation over the weekend with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, or you just said, you know, if you hate that team, you just assume it's cheating.
There is that too.
Probably just do that, you know. That's how it goes a lot. And again, there is a parallel. It's a different situation, but you know, the Vanderbilt, everybody gets a full scholarship. Very popular narrative in Mississippi, but
very popular in Starkville. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, really, I mean, you, there are other coaches in the league. The Auburn coach, I remember, kind of went off about it, even though like Kamar Rocker, you know, wouldn't. I mean, need based aid has helped Vanderbilt give more money to players, so they've had a lot more players get more money. Again, a lot of other universities have need based aid. So it's not full scholarships. It's taking advantage of something the school does. But according to some fan bases, it's cheating. And again, there's really no, I mean, there's no evidence. There's nothing solid that says like a Tennessee player this year has one time altered a bat. You know, there was a sticker that fell off against Auburn. The SEC put out a note. And, you know, rumors are rumors, but this whole system makes it so that we can just guess and not know for sure. Rather than be transparent and just lay it out there, which one, will clear someone if they didn't do anything wrong, and two, will hold someone accountable if they did, and will probably prevent other people from doing it. The way it is now,
there's nothing.
Yeah, there's really nothing. But it is the NCAA, by the way, so don't, I mean, the SEC, it's all, the NCAA, it's all under their umbrella with how this goes. And that actually started last year, by the way.
Nate on the text line says, how is there not a way to check it during the game, verify either way, and announce the verification? Maybe there will be as they move forward. It seems like that should be possible.
We can, well, again, that's why they have the stickers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to do, like these compression tests, they actually have a machine. And by the way, bats can be not up to code just because they got old or whatever, too. Like, there's various ways that don't necessarily have to be have anything to do with cheating where a bat is not up to code. But
you know all about the bat process now.
I mean,
big educational thing for you this weekend.
I did not know this weekend that I was going to be, you know, delving into the bat testing world or bothering Herb Vincent to such extent as I did.
With all due respect.
Yes. That was fun.
Joe, what did you make of the national title game last night? Kansas wins their second title under Bill Self, their fourth in program history, 72-69 the final last night. Tough to see, you know, Bacot go down the way that he did with the floor basically caving in on him. There's a loose floorboard, and that was pretty much in direct correlation to him getting injured and leaving that game. He was already injured heading into the game, but was kind of gutting through it, and then that was just rough to watch last night. What did you make of the game overall?
That was terrible. And I don't know, you know, the last play of the game, Manek was clearly, they were trying to do a flare screen on the other side of the floor and get him the tying three attempt, and he stumbled. I couldn't tell. That may not have been related to it, but it was close to where Bacot got hurt too. But if you look at, there's a video going around on Twitter. I retweeted it. It's all over the place. I mean, that floor like buckles and some little floorboard pops up a little bit, and that's right where he hurt himself. That's terrible. Like, how can you possibly have that situation? I know that a lot of people are going to say, there you go, that seals it. From now on, the Final Four will be played in a basketball arena like it used to be, and all will be well. But let me promise you, that will not happen because they are filling these football stadiums. They are filling the suites on both sides of the football stadiums, and they'll continue to do that. But and there's got to be some accountability on this floor. I mean, you just got a kid hurt. And you may have impacted the outcome of the game, by the way, because he's kind of an important player.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good. And it's one of those things where, I mean, it's just such a disappointing way to watch him go out. And look, people get hurt. Like, people get, they hurt their ankle, they hurt their knee, they hurt their feet, you know, driving to the basket. But when the video, you can just clearly see the floor basically disintegrating right in front of him. That's not a very good look. But nonetheless, Kansas wins the national title, number two for Bill Self. I mean, you're down 16 at one point in the first half. You're down 15 at the half. To be able to come back and win that game, as Mike pointed out, very good defense for Kansas in the second half, and that was a very impressive comeback from the Jayhawks last night.
Yeah, and Remy Martin was he got going. All of a sudden, it was all working for him. I mean, to me, he was the key. Brown also had some big moments there as they came back and said some very bad words, caught on camera, but he was excited. Great team, you know, worthy champion. You know, 2 years ago, Kansas, I think, clearly had the best team. Doesn't mean they would have won it. But actually, 2 years ago, Kansas had probably the best team, but also a team that had lost to Dayton. And Dayton was a one seed, too. And that was, when I think of that tournament we lost, I think of Dayton having a real chance at a Final Four, maybe a Dayton-Kansas rematch from Maui. Never happened, but Kansas certainly was a top contender, and now they've won it, and now Bill Self's in a different category. I mean, Bill Self, he's had some terrible meltdowns, but, you know, you go through this tournament enough times, and you're going to have some of those. He had the one title, which, given all the talent he's had, all the great teams he's had, that just wasn't up to snuff, and he said it this weekend, and now he's got two. So Kansas has to feel good about basically saying to him, I don't care what you've done. You can cheat more than any cheater's ever cheated. Your contract is all set. And now you win a natty, and everybody in Lawrence, I'm sure, feels fine about that.
I'm sure they feel good about it. And who knows? Maybe they'll be put on a postseason ban next year with some of the things that have come out. It's looking like that could be very possible.
I think there's a real possibility that they will not have an opportunity to defend their title. But they're not going to get this one taken away.
But you know what? Nobody in Kansas is going to care about that because you just won another national title.
I mean, they might be ticked like when the season comes around, you know. But yeah, I'd say most fan bases would take that trade off, right? You can have the natty, but you're going to go on probation the next year. Okay.
Yeah, I think
right?
I'd take that every time.
I mean, you take that.
Hey, you said that people, if you're in this tournament long enough, the postseason meltdowns are going to happen. That gives you hope for Rick Barnes. I can feel you throughout the show today. You are talking yourself into a nice postseason run next season for the Vols.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Mike's right that they're if they have a really good portal ad, if they can find a really good point guard to kind of split things with Ziegler, because I just think Ziegler was a heck of a story, tremendous role player off the bench, and he really made a difference. But are you going to say, hey, all right, it's your team now as a sophomore? You know, he's still like 5'8". And there's still some limitations there. I think you need more help. But if you get a good point guard and if you get some big gains with those bigs, at least there's a lot of them competing with each other. And I could see one of them leaving too. But with Vescovy and James as seniors, it should be a really good team.
It should be.
I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be a really good team too. And Rick Barnes and Ryan Tannehill are kind of like, next year's, show it, prove it to us. You know, we'll believe it when we see it, guys.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and the draft possibilities coming up here in just a few minutes. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right, guys. If you're frustrated in the bedroom experiencing erectile dysfunction, welcome to the future. Hillside Medical Clinic uses a technology called wave therapy. Pressure waves can now clinically open up and regrow blood vessels. It's not painful. It's just more blood flow, and we've helped a lot of guys get rid of the ED without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this new technology?
That's what's so impressive is the scientific community has backed this technology. Universities, hospitals, and 60 others have vetted this, showed it to be safe and effective. It was even called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do, and I don't think we've offered this on the show today. If you're ready to put a stop to your ED, call us now. Exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound is free, the gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. And today only, tune-up treatments are included. So if you notice that results fade, we'll retreat you free of charge, but you got to call us now.
Make sure you call them now. You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls coming up at First Horizon Park this Sunday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls coming up at First Horizon Park this Sunday. We're out here at First Horizon Park today. Nice 6-game homestand to open up the season for the Sounds as they take on the Durham Bulls. 615-737-1025. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. LD from McMinnville texting in says, outside of a quarterback, The Titans' first-round pick has to start day one. Agree or disagree? This is coming from LD from McMinnville on the text line.
And I responded on the text line, and I'll paraphrase. I said, I agree. I guess one, like, if they get a receiver who technically, man, maybe doesn't start on the first play of the season, he's not, you know, in when they're not in three wide, he's not out there sometimes, whatever. If they get a receiver who, whether you want to call him a starter or not, is a key contributor and has a good, productive rookie season and makes the offense better, that qualifies. If they get a lineman who takes 3-4 games, like Nate Davis, you know, didn't start right away in 2019. He eventually got into the starting lineup. The lineup badly needed him. He struggled early. He got better by the end. He was good. That's fine, too. I mean, sometimes it's not like snap your fingers. And there's no one, like, not, you know, I mean, I think, actually, I'm going to go through today and try to figure out what they might pick. I mean, how many defensive picks are we anticipating for the Titans? I'm sure they're going to do a little bit on defense.
Probably not much, though.
But you wouldn't, you know, like, there's really no chance. Like, last year, there were probably quite a few spots you said, hey, you could draft a starter on defense, and now it's like there's just no way you're going to draft a starter on defense.
Well, that's why, like, I saw a first-round pick the other day on a mock draft that had the Titans taking N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia, and I was like, well, he's a really good player. Like, are they taking a linebacker with number 26 overall with this team?
I mean, that's someone who didn't notice that they signed Zach Cunningham. I guess you could look at them and say, hey, Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown have moved on, but they drafted Monty Rice last year, so... Now, if they could swap in N'Kobe Dean for Monty Rice, they probably would.
Yeah.
But, that's not a very wise guess. So, it's got to be someone who contributes significantly. And, yeah, I would agree. Like, if you draft a tackle, you hope that, like Jack Conklin, when he was a rookie, he's an all-pro, he can start at right tackle from day one and be good. If you draft an interior offensive lineman, you know, you have to battle. You have to battle Aaron Brewer and Jamarco Jones. But obviously, if you draft the right guy, then you hope that he eventually wins that starting job at left guard.
I got a texter that says Matt Corral seems like a fitting pick. You get the quarterback and coming off a big injury, too. There you go.
There we go.
I don't know that Matt Corral is going in the first round.
It was interesting, too. I mean, there's a guy who... You know, his stock really has dropped compared with how some people thought of him during the season.
There were some people during the season that were talking about him being the first pick.
Right.
Now, we didn't know Jacksonville was going to have the first pick then, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, right there, right near the top. And that's where college production, all that stuff. Then when you go through the ringer and everybody is measuring everything and all that stuff, and that can change for the better, that can change for the worse for a quarterback. But then again... Just mock drafts. Maybe Corral goes high in this draft. Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't see when Daniel Jones got snagged up by the Giants. I didn't see that one coming a few years ago. Apparently, they still love him, too.
That's right. I mean, where was Daniel Jones projected? Was he projected as, like, maybe a low first-round pick or even that? Yeah. All it takes is one team.
That's right.
All it takes is one team.
Apparently, the Giants still in love with Daniel Jones, too, which good for them. Hope that works out for them.
Yeah. Yeah, one more shot anyway. But yeah, there's a team. Man, I don't know. You could look at them and say they could be a candidate to draft someone too. But more than likely they're going to get into the trying to grab a veteran if it doesn't work out with them this year.
Yeah.
But then again, they could be bad enough to be in a better spot to draft out of a better class next year.
Well, we talked about this earlier in the show, but that's, to me, what makes this draft so intriguing, not just from a Titans perspective, but league-wide, is I don't really know what's going to happen with the quarterbacks. I mean, there's people that think that Malik Willis could go to the Panthers, and that could be the only quarterback that's selected in the first round. There are people that think it could be Kenny Pickett that goes, and Malik Willis could go at the bottom of the first round. You know, at this point, and realizing we're now closing in on the draft at this point, so it's going to start to change, but I've seen very few mock drafts at this point that have more than two quarterbacks being taken in the first round, which I still, in the back of my mind, think about, like, somebody's taking, there's going to be three, right? Maybe four.
Well, Bruce's has four. but three of the four super late.
Yeah.
So it seems almost unanimous that it's like one guy's going to the Panthers, and then you wait. But it won't necessarily work out that way. There's plenty of teams that could decide to go QB. I mean, I still look at Pittsburgh as a team. Again, it comes down to, it's the same thing with the Titans. Do you believe that your quarterback of the future, do you believe that he's in this draft and you could take him? Well, then that's all that matters. Who cares about the weakness of the QB class? The Lions could, at two, go QB. Most people think they won't, but it doesn't. I mean, that those surprises like that happen all the time. Carolina seems to be the only team that everybody agrees, is going to take a QB. I mean, could the Falcons? Yeah, I know they have Mariota, but like the Falcons, sure. at eight, could they potentially take quarterback? Yeah, the answer is yeah, if they believe that there are guys there. Could the Seahawks at nine? Sure. Keep going down the list. I mean, there's plenty of teams high in this draft who could make the case to take a quarterback.
What about the Texans? I mean, they've got my guy Davis Mills reaching for the stars down there in Houston. But I mean, you just lost Deshaun Watson. Could do you maybe take a flyer on a quarterback this year in the draft?
Do you extend yourself and go get that next QB? I don't know. That's a good question.
I promise I didn't bring up the Texans just for the Davis Mills
season. Yeah, but it's been a while, so it's a welcome addition to the show. it's possible. Again, the answer should always be not because, yeah, we should take a QB. And where are they, 13?
Yep.
It's possible. I mean, I will say, I mean, all the Davis Mills jokes aside, you look pretty good at the end, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bad. You're going to be bad this year. I mean, it's not necessarily the worst thing maybe to really give him a look in a full season, with the new coaching staff. And if you're as bad as everybody thinks you're going to be, then you're going to be in position, in a year from now to maybe take the next guy. If you've seen after another year Davis Mills that maybe him being your long-term answer is a bit of a stretch.
Well, nice. They're number three, too. So number three and number
13. Three and 13. Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So two first rounders for Houston.
You
so
do it.
Like if one, it wouldn't surprise me at all if one of those was a quarterback.
Could be.
But yeah. Davis Mills is going to win the starting job at the end.
He's
pretty good
Davis
at the end
Mills.
Last year, in all seriousness. He wasn't bad.
He lit up the Titans, and the Titans defense wasn't lit up a ton.
No.
Joe Burrow didn't really light him up, in a playoff loss. I mean, but Davis Mills had his way with them in the second half of that game.
Brian on the text line says, come on, guys, remember mock drafts are fake.
Yep.
Just like the salary cap. This is from Brian.
My goodness. Well, mock drafts are, again, there are some that I pay it, Bruce's, I will absolutely tout that one because I like what he does. He really delves into college reporting that he has good sources in college football, and it at least gives you a good idea of these players. Now, that still doesn't mean that he knows who's going to take who where and all that stuff. I mean, and the problem with mock drafts, even mock drafts that involve a lot of reporting, is that there are definitely teams that want people to think one thing when they're going to do something else.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays at First Horizon Park. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:20 and first pitch is at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Days Delta 8. It is time for Preds Pick to Click. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you get the goal scorer right for the Predators tonight, you'll have some tickets to an upcoming Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight at home at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5. The game, massive game for the Preds tonight. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners back on the board on Friday against Buffalo, so they have retaken the lead in the competition.
Boo.
17 correct answers. Joe Rexrode in second with 16. Robbie Stanley with 15. Michelle with 11 in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Casey from Gallatin. Casey, what's going on?
Not much. How y'all this morning?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Casey, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators as they take on the Minnesota Wild?
I'm going with Tanner Janot.
I like it. Tanner Janot, the selection from Casey. Casey, appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
So Tanner Janot off the board. Tanner Janot becoming a popular pick in the competition. Rarely has been first, though. And that sets the table for Robbie Stanley to select Philip Forsberg in the competition. So I will go with Forsberg today. Joe Rexrode, Janot, and Forsberg off the board. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
When you pick last, you don't go first next time?
What?
When you pick last one time, you don't go up to the top of the line? No? You go backward up to the, to the top? All right, I got to start recording these, listening back to them, seeing how many times
Joe,
I got
hosed. Are recorded. You just got to listen back.
Oh, that's right. All right. I got to just listen back then. I'll go Matt Duchene.
All right. Janot, Forsberg, and Duchene off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Surprise, surprise. You guys took my first, second, and third choice.
Sorry about that.
Listen, this worked for me earlier in the season. Had a little hiatus in the middle of the pack, but I'm going to go back to Ryan Johansson. He hasn't scored in a minute.
Ryan Johansson, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. So the selections in the competition today, Casey from Gallatin going with Tanner Janot, Robbie Stanley, Philip Forsberg, Joe Rexrode with Matt Duchene, and Michelle Knezovic with Ryan Johansson in the competition today.
Doing the whole nines line.
Yeah.
Or are we doing the, or what
we
is it? We're
going to start naming those lines now, too.
The nines line?
Yeah.
The nine line? Or is it the dollar bill line? Wait, I'm thinking of Bill Self. I'm sorry.
You guys waited so long on the Granlund Forsberg Duchene line that they split it up and you didn't have a name for it.
Right. Well, but that's the problem, and that's the danger of naming a line that's not going to stick together. Is this line going to stick together?
I mean, I'm sure it won't be together from now until the rest of history.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's fine.
It's going to stick together for a while.
I mean, if they have a full season in them together, then I think it's worth naming them. So we should do a contest.
It's a big game tonight for the Predators as they take on the Wild. We talked about earlier the Wild and the run that they're on, 9-0-1 in their last 10. Kevin Fiala's got over 60 points. Ryan Hartman scored 27 goals. Freddie Gaudreau, former Predator, has 32 points this year, 10 goals, 22 assists. They've got a lot of production out of former Predators. I mean, this is a game where you need to win this game. And I know that they're the hottest team in the league right now. You've got 9 of your final 14 if you're the Predators at home. And it's a big week this week. You've got tonight against Minnesota, on the road for one game in Ottawa, which that's a long road trip for one game. You come back home on Saturday afternoon to take on Florida, and then a back-to-back set Saturday, Sunday, Florida, and then Pittsburgh on the road the next day. So this is not an easy week for the Predators coming up.
Yeah, so if you take it all as four, you said earlier in the show 4 out of 6 points of the next 3, which I would agree. Get the Ottawa win. Get one of these two, preferably against Minnesota, because as you said, if you happen to get 2 regulation wins against Minnesota, even though they're 9-0-1 in their last 10, that at least could make it interesting.
You're within shouting distance at that point, yeah.
And if you really, like, if you don't do exactly that, I don't know that there's enough work you can do otherwise to even have any kind of hope for the number 2 in the division. But of the 8 possible points this week, 5? Five good enough?
That's probably where I'd put it. 5 out of 8. I mean, in a perfect world, you like 6. But 5 out of 8. I mean, based on the schedule, if you get 5 out of 8, you're feeling okay if you're the Predators. I mean, the problem is, I mean, you look at the standings right now. We talked about this. Dallas takes on the Islanders, I think, tonight. They're taking on the Islanders at home. And then Vegas plays tomorrow, and they're taking on Vancouver. So you need Barry Trotz to help you out tonight if you're the Predators. Take down the Stars. And, you know, even though Vancouver is right there in the standings, too, at 74 points, they're still far enough away, and they've played two more games than you have, where I'm not worried about Vancouver right now if I'm the Predators. You want Vancouver to take down Vegas tomorrow night as well. But if you lose this game, all of a sudden, it's conceivable that by the time you play on Thursday, you could be out of a playoff spot. And that's not where you want to be if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to go down to the very end. I mean, it's going to go down to the last week. I'll be very surprised if it doesn't. But the point is just to get in. You get in and you got a chance. At this point, we've talked in the past. Oh, what about this series, this matchup? Avoid Colorado, play Colorado. Just get in. I mean, it's gotten to the point where you've played yourself out of any kind of real secure spot. It's not like the Preds have been on a total downward spiral, but they've given up that security. And I think there's a real chance that those last two games at Colorado and Arizona matter.
Yeah, I think there's a chance for that as well. Ryan in Nashville texting in says, Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne is called the last chance line. This is coming from Ryan in Nashville. Matthew from Jolton says, the money line for Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne.
See, we got people submitting already. It's great. The money line's a good – I like that. I
may have found my Rob Rant topic for tomorrow.
I thought you already had one.
Well, I've got several that I can choose from. This may have just replaced.
If you'd like to, start taking more of these rants. Since we're such a ranty show now.
I won't steal your shine. I mean, we're the only show in town that's going to have a rant every day for you at 7:45 a.m.
That's right. That's right. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Gentry Estes said that he thinks that you and I are two of the least ranty people he knows, and yet we rant a lot.
Look, sometimes you just got to call some people out.
I agree. Feels good.
It does.
You call people out and let people know again that you've been obsessed with Alyssa Milano going back to the 80s. Or were obsessed with her in the 80s.
Speaking of calling people
out. For people who don't know what I was talking about, who weren't listening earlier, that's a weird thing to just throw in there. Listen, we recorded
it. Be like
it.
Rex wrote and go back and listen to the show. You can find it on Apple and Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Speaking of calling people out, I said this earlier, and I believe this now, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Like, to me, the body of work at this point with Granlund, Cunning and Tolvanen, and really I'm referring to Tolvanen and Cunning because Granlund's, I think we know what Granlund is. He's really good. He's still getting his points on the power play. But 5-on-5, there's just not been much scoring from Cunning and Tolvanen, really regardless of who you put with him. And I know Cunning's got 12 goals, and it's not like he's just been totally dry offensively, but those two have not been good enough offensively. And the body of work just kind of is what it is at this point, 68 games into a season. Like, I just don't expect that to all of a sudden magically turn around at this point if you're John Hines and the Predators.
Yeah, and this is like to our earlier discussion, it's like, how does Ryan Hartman have 27 goals? Luke Cunning, there's a guy who I thought maybe would be like a 20-goal scorer this year, maybe a guy they could count on to be, not the same kind of player exactly, but like a Craig Smith replacement in terms of production, right? I think that's kind of the idea with him.
Yeah.
And at this point, it does not look great on that front. Doesn't mean it can't change, but it's been disappointing. And, Tolvanen, we've talked a lot about that. But I don't know. It's a weird one. Like, is it when you know that you have to do so many other things so much better to stick in this league and you buy in and embrace something, does that cost you offensively? It hasn't worked that way with other guys, but it's like everything about Tolvin is like, man, I really like how he's playing out there, but like he doesn't seem dangerous at all.
Well, it's interesting because like Duchesne to me this year is doing so much more away from the puck, and
right,
it's leading to more offense.
Exactly.
I'd say the same thing about Philip Forsberg. Like, it's leading to more offensive chances for those guys. And look, I think what you said a few weeks ago, I've started to kind of look for it, and I think you're right. Like, I don't have a way to quantify it. I don't have like some sports science stat that I can throw up for you, but it just the shot doesn't look the same from Tolvanen coming off the stick. And I don't know if he's not getting open enough, if he's not winding up enough and using the slap shot, if maybe it's in his head at this point. I don't know. But the shot, it just doesn't have the same pop to it this year to me. And I don't know how to put a quantifiable number on why that is or even if that's the case or not, but it just kind of looks that way to me as well.
It was a death laser last year.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, you want to go back to, like, Korea when, yes, some people overestimated him. But the shot, there was no question. You're like, that thing is a missile.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there a way to quantify it? Is there someone out there doing analytics that could have any sort of comparison just between anything to do with his shot this year versus last year? That'd be pretty interesting.
And I'm not even necessarily talking, like, miles per hour, even though I think that's part of it. But just, like, release point, quickness. Like, it's just – it's not quite the same. And sometimes it has been, and I think he's just been robbed a few times. Yeah. But I don't buy into the, like, there's 68 games worth now of Elie Tolvanen just being robbed left and right. That doesn't pass the eye test with me.
Although, actually, I go back to last year, and I believe way more of what Duchesne said on this show weekly. I was like, gosh, maybe you're right, man. It's a terrible luck year.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the latest on all things NFL. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.